chapter 45. Brog watched Sarmina as she lay flat upon the parade ground with her ear to the floor. One of Bane's former mercenaries, a rat named Chinwort, tugged at Brog's cloak and asked,
"What's she up to, Captain?"
"Can't you see she's listening for water?"
"Water?"
"Aye, water, Wormbrain. What do you suppose she'd be listening for? Strawberry cordial?"
Sarmina sprang up, hurried across the parade ground and lay near the wall of the building, listening intently. She waved a paw.
"Brog, over here."
"Yes, my lady."
"Get down. Press your ear to the wall. Not up there. Down here by the ground."
"Oh, right. Here, my lady."
"That's it. Tell me what you can hear."
Nothing, my lady."
"Are you sure, Brog?"
"I'm certain, my lady."
"Well, I can hear water running."
"But I can't, my lady."
Perhaps it's my imagination."
"Strange thing, the imagination, my lady."
"Are you sure you searched below the cells last night?"
"Positive, milady."
"Brog, if I thought you were lying to me, you did search there, didn't you?"
The weasel captain noted the look of fear that flitted across Sarmina's features. He took full advantage of it.
"Your Majesty, I personally went alone to the place beneath the cells where it's all damp and green with slime and fungus. I searched around that underground lake where the gloomer lived. The place was full of strange echoes and dripping sounds. Maybe that's what you've heard. The place is always full of odd echoes and dripping noises down there in the blackness. Shall we go down there together and recheck it, milady?"
Sarmina could not stop her whole body shaking. She sat on the ground, unconsciously wiping her paws across her coat.
"No, no, Brock,"
she said nervously.
"I won't be going down there. I'll be up in my chamber if you need me for anything."
She hurried indoors, brushing roughly past Chinwort, who had been lingering nearby, eavesdropping on the conversation. He winked knowingly at Brog.
"I was with you last night. We never went anywhere near that place under the cells. What a pack of old fibs you fed her there, mate."
Brog grabbed the rat savagely by his ear and pulled him close, twisting hard.
"Listen to me, Bone Brain. You keep your skinny mouth shut. I'm giving the orders now, not Bane."
Oh, let go. You're pulling me leg off,"
Chinwort whined pitifully. Brog twisted the ear more cruelly.
"I'll rip your tongue out too if I hear another word from you,"
he said menacingly.
"Let her go and search the deep, dark places if she wants to. I'm not going down there, not for all the cider and Katia. Unless, of course, you're volunteering to go down there alone."
Brog released the rat, who stood nursing his ear tenderly.
All right, I haven't seen nothing, heard nothing, and I won't say nothing. It was none of my business."
Brog contemptuously wiped the claws that had been nipping Chinwort's ear on the rat's tunic.
"Good. Now, get about your business, pig's ears."
When the rat had scurried off, Brog stood sunning himself. He held the larder keys, had a new red velvet cloak, and a dangerous-looking curved sword. To all apparent purposes, he was the only captain at present serving in Katia. Life was beginning to feel fairly good. A packed lunch was served at the river's edge. Bella tossed an apple core into the water. They watched it bob to one side, then stick in the shallows. Skipper plucked it out and flung it far.
"All I can say is that somehow the river moss is at a low ebb. Those holes were underwater when we dug them, and now they're high and dry."
Ben Stickle lay flat out on the bank, gazing up at the cloudless sky.
"Must be the mild spring we had. Look at it now. Hardly a week into the season, and it's like midsummer. It'll be late autumn before we see a drop of rain at this rate."
"So what is to be done?"
Abbess Germaine asked, putting her milk beaker aside. Lady Amber stroked the space where her ear had been.
"What do you think, Skip? Would it be possible to dam the river now that the level's fallen a bit?"
The otter picked up a paw full of bank sand. It ran freely through his claws.
"Marm, even as things are now, it'd be like trying to stop the sunrise at dawn. We don't stand a chance of even trying to block off a river the size of old Moss."
Chib perched on a young chestnut shoot. They continued talking, ignoring the robin.
"Maybe if we dig the channels a bit deeper."
"Tunnels, you mean?"
"Channels, tunnels, it's all the same, isn't it?"
Chib called again.
"It is if you're a squirrel, but to a mole or an otter, a channel and a tunnel are two completely different things."
Chib was becoming impatient.
"Were that be correct, olds is olds, and furrows is furrows."
do you mean, furrows? A channel is enough for... Chib, what's the matter with you? Some nut stuck in your throat, is it?
No, but I thought you'd like to know there's a ship coming up the river.
A ship?
What? You mean a boat?
Humph! I beg your pardon, but I'd have said a boat if I meant a boat. It is a ship, full size, all black, white skull thing on the front, rolled up canvas sails, lots of oars. Ship!
Bella leapt up, spreading her paws wide.
Every creature take cover. Abbess, you stay with them. Be ready to make a dash for Brockhall if you hear my signal. Skipper, Lady Amber, come with me. We'd better go and investigate. Chib, did you see who was on the ship?
Afraid not. Soon as I sighted it, I came here to report.
Good work.
Bella congratulated him.
Come with us. We may need you to carry word back fast to those in hiding.
The woodlanders concealed themselves behind trees, in bushes, and under deep loam. The badger, the otter, the squirrel, and the robin struck out west along the bank, leaving the scene apparently deserted. Travelling light, they made swift progress. It was not far to the stretch of water where the ship was. Chib was the first to sight it. He fluttered up and down excitedly.
See, I told you so. Look at those two big poles sticking up above the trees. They're big poles that stick up on ships.
Skipper saw them too.
Masts they are, matey,
he explained.
Let's get in closer and take a better look.
On all fours, they crept to the river's edge, concealing themselves in the bushes as the ship hove into view.
You there! Come no further!
Bella called from her hideout in the forbidding boom of a warlike badger.
If you mean harm to any creature in Mossflower, put back to sea, or deal with me!
There was silence from the black ship. On board Woodship, Martin and his friends lay on deck, hidden by the ship's sides. Dinny clapped a paw to his mouth, stifling a chuckle.
I know who that be a shoutin'.
Bella, good old Bella of Brockhall.
There was a distant look in Martin's eyes.
For a moment there, she sounded like Bo.
Logalog nodded toward the shore.
Well, we can't lie here all day. Who's going to answer her?
Young Dinny solved the problem by standing up and bellowing.
Yeah, there be a beast aboard who's a perishing from love for one called Comberliney.
The creatures in the bushes dashed out in time to see the mole hit the water with a splash as Gonf heaved him over the side.
Help! I bain't much good at swimming.
Hold fast there, young Din.
Skipper called. He was in the water like a flash. He held young Dinny up as eager paws hauled him on board.
Skipper, you old water walloper.
Gonf, you young pie bandit.
Hello, Bella. Ahoy, it's me, Martin.
Martin the warrior, welcome home. Look who's here.
Lady Amber, where's your ear?
Logalog's voice rang out and suddenly Woodship was swarming with shrews, mice, hedgehogs, squirrels and hares.
Bring a hard over. Steady to the bank. Mind those masts on the trees. Steady that tiller. Watch your head in the shallows.
Chib flew to the ship and perched importantly upon the rail.
I must fly and conduct good tidings to those languishing in concealment.
As he flew off, Skipper chuckled.
Does that mean he's going to tell the others? Strike me colours, but this is a fine, handsome vessel. I never seen the like of it afore on Old River Moss. You didn't steal it, did you, Gonf? Is that two sails I spy? Wonderful. Blow me, look at the size of that tiller. This is a real sea-going craft, all right. What's that big skull on the fore tip? A fish? I don't believe there's a fish that big in all the world.
As Woodship berthed alongside the bank, Tim Ballisto held up his paws, laughing heartily.
Hold steady, Otter. You must be Skipper. I'm Martin's pal, Tim Ballisto. We'll answer all your questions soon enough.
Bella and Lady Amber came aboard, gazing about in awe as they hugged Martin, Gonf and Dinny. Bella smiled fondly at the warrior mouse as she patted his back.
Martin, you've grown. You really look like a full-blooded warrior now. What a beautiful sword that is. Is my father here? Where's old Boar the fighter?
A silence fell over the ship's crew. Martin gently took Bella's paw.
Come into the cabin with me, old friend. I have a long story to tell you.
There were many stories told that summer afternoon, while Martin and Bella remained in the cabin. Ferdy and Cogs, Spike and Posey sat among a group of woodlanders on the deck. The little hedgehogs wore brass sea rat earrings and carried a round shield each. Their eyes were wide and mouths agape as Gonf related the events which had befallen the travellers since they had left Mossflower to go questing for Salamandastron. Ben Stickle, Goody and the Abbess were equally impressed, smiling broadly when Gov could not get his paw loose to illustrate a point, because Columbine was clasping it tight.
Toads, matey, you've never seen toads as wicked as this lot. But when that eel came slithering out of the scream hole...
Was the eel as big as a tree, Mr. Gumph?
Twice as big, Spike. He'd have eaten you without even opening his mouth.
Lady Amber chuckled dryly.
Are you sure you saw mice with wings, Gumph?
Oh, I never saw them, but Martin and Dinny did. Isn't that right, Din?
Brr, oi! Girt leathery bird mouses are flying about inside a mountain.
Was that Salamandastron Mountain, Mr. Dinny?
Indeed it was not. That chap's inside our mountain? Never!
Fat chance, young fellow Mahogwad.
Only fire, hares and badgers inside our mountain, old lad.
Gonf looked severely at Trubs and Co.
Who's telling this story? Me or you?
Yes, please be quiet and let Mr. Gonf tell the story, Trubs.
Rather, he's a much better storyteller than you.
Indeed, and isn't little Columbine pretty?
Then there was this beach,
Gonf continued enthusiastically.
Huge, big as moss flower, nothing but sand as far as you could see, besides the water and the crabs.
Well, what's a crab, Mr. Gonf?
Well, it's like a spider, only 100 times bigger, with great nipping claws and lots of hard armour.
Did you and Martin slay the big crab, Mr. Gonf?
Well, no, Ferdy. Actually, I ended up dancing with it.
Was it a pretty lady crab, Gonf?
No, I think it was a jolly sort of male crab, Columbine.
Oh, then that's all right.
Here, I nearly forgot. This is a necklace of shells I made for you. Put it on.
Oh, thank you, Gonf. It's beautiful. Are they crab shells?
No, missy, them shells. Collected them myself, I did.
Well, Gonf was busy dancing with the crabs, I suppose. Oh, thank you very much, Dinny.
The mouse thief chose to ignore the reference to his dancing talent and continued the narrative. He told of the sands, the movement of the mighty sea tides, of the scavenging seabirds and the dead rat whose provisions saved their own lives. He described the meeting with Trubs and Co. and how they led the travellers to the mountain. Gonf went on to tell of the fabulous place called Salamandastron, its halls, caves, stairs and passages. He related to his amazed audience the saga of Bor the Fighter, of his roaring forge, gigantic battle sword, and his colossal bravery in the war against the sea rats. Gonf told of the struggle that ended with Bor and Ripfang going together to the gates of Dark Forest, and finished with the capture of the ship Bloodwake, now called Woodship. There was a moment's complete silence. Then the woodlanders flocked about him, babbling questions. Tim Ballisto and some former ore slaves saved Gonf from further harassment by lugging large copper tubs out from the galley.
Right, form a line here. It's Skilly and Duff time.
The young one sniffed the savoury odours as he explained.
Seafood and potato stew. That's Skilly. It'll put hairs on your chest like a giant sea dog. There's plenty of pepper and sea salt in it too. Finish it all up and show me a clean plate, then I'll dish you up some of my own warrior's recipe. Plum and chestnut duff in cream and beech nut sauce. Come on, there's plenty for everyone.
Night fell as Woodship rode at anchor, kedged safe in midstream. Martin emerged from the cabin, looking pale and sad after the news he had related to Bella. He called the 6 hares to him.
Go to the cabin. Bella wishes to talk with you,
he told them.
Tell her all you know of her father and the time you spent in his company on the mountain.
Rely on us, old chap.
Only the good times. Mum's the word, you know.
That's the ticket. How strong Bor was.
Like a father to us. A handsome badger, what?
He taught us all so much. He was so understanding.
How could we forget such a dear friend?
Before they slept, the travellers were closeted with the Corrim leaders to hear how Mossflower had fared in their absence. When they had learned all, they went out onto the deck. The little ones had been bedded down in the cabins, but the novelty of hammock sleeping lost out to weariness. Outside on the deck, every creature was assembled, packing the rails and rigging. Bella stood with her paw upon the tiller, red-eyed with grief, but calm and composed. Martin took command instinctively. The warrior mouse seemed to have grown in stature and confidence since his return. Every woodlander now looked upon him with a respect which bordered upon awe. He stood on the peak of the after-end gallery, the sword glinting under a full moon.
Friends, I have heard all. and my companions have told you everything that happened to us on our quest. Now I am back.
Abbess Germain nodded approvingly at the commanding figure.
Tell us what you want us to do, Martin.
The warrior mouse drew his sword and leaned on the pommel stone as his blade pierced the deck timbers.
Trust me, Mossflower will be saved. I have been thinking of a plan that I will not explain at present. First, I must see certain things before I know it can be executed properly. Now we must sleep until the morning. Tomorrow, after the little ones are somewhere safe, you will see what I intend. Do not worry any more. Our force has been doubled by the numbers who have sailed back with us, and we have seasoned warriors with us now. Bor the fighter cannot be here tonight, but I know that his strong spirit watches over us from beyond the gates of Dark Forest. He has sent me with this sword to make an end of Sarmina and all who follow her. I promise you that I will.
Every creature who saw Martin the Warrior that night knew without a shadow of doubt he was the one chosen to keep that promise.